I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. No short.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Today you're going to hear two moving speeches from our conference called Investigate Building 7, that was held at the University of Hartford on March 26, 2011. The first one is by victim's family member Valerie Luchnikovska, and the second one is by architect Richard Gage. Valerie is introduced here by another victim's family member, Manny Badillo. So let's get started.
The next family member I'd like to introduce is someone who I met at an anti-torture event, Judson Church in New York City. It just so happened that she asked a question of the panel that day, and she mentioned that she was a 9/11 family member. And after the question and answer session, I went over to her and we spoke. And it just so happened that her nephew, the brother of Adam, who was the victim on September 11th, her other nephew, the brother of that nephew, Don Arias, I actually worked with in the Air Force for a time. So we had a unique connection there, and we had some very interesting conversations, and I'm so eternally grateful for such a wonderful lady to be a part of my life now, because I learn from everybody. I learn from especially the family members, because, you know, we can relate, and especially the family members that are in the know about the cover-up and the omissions and the distortions, because we're still a bit traumatized by the fact that we lost loved ones and we've been viciously lied to. And there's still no justice. And Valerie is someone who's fighting for that justice. Valerie Luchnikovska was head of her own public relations firm, specializing in internal finance and economics. More recently, was a founder and the executive director of a nonprofit of international architects dedicated to excellence in architectural principles. She has a master's degree in politics of the world economy from the London School of Economics and Political Science. Since losing her nephew, Adam, in the World Trade Center on 9/11, she became acutely aware that by far the largest number of lives claimed by modern wars are civilians, leaving lasting damage to societies and leaving behind increasing numbers of family members around the world to cope with grief, anger, and long-term psychological scars. Since 2002, she has been a member of the only 9/11 family group dedicated to peace, and has been speaking in person and to the media here and abroad, and lobbying Congress on civil liberties, Iraq, closing Guantanamo, and releasing or bringing the detainees to trial in federal courts. She is also an advisor to the board of Park 51, the Muslim Community Center, and prayer room near Ground Zero. Everyone, Valerie.
I first of all want to make it totally clear. Some of you may have seen my face before because I've done a lot of work with the organization that Manny alluded to, the September 11th Families for Peaceful Tomorrows. I'd like to assure you that I am not here on behalf of that group. I am here as an individual only. Okay, got that out of the way. I also want to thank Jane, who reminded me of some of the journey that I've been through. She reminded me about how I could not believe that my government could do certain things like attack the people of Iraq. I was just incredulous at this, and I went through a life-changing experience when that actually did happen. In fact, I was in Italy at that time. I was on a speaking tour of Italy, invited by a peace group there. Tavolo della Pace is the name of it. And I was going from, I think I did about 10 cities in 7 days, and I spoke at many city councils who wanted to pass resolutions against the war in Iraq, and we managed to get that done in most of the cases. But that last night, before it was on the weekend, I was speaking at a monastery in, I think it was, in Siena. There were so many cities that I went to so quickly. And I was on a balcony with a Muslim woman. She and I both spoke, and there were a couple of monks on either side of us, and there was a large crowd in the plaza below. And I stated unequivocally that the next day, when there was to be an announcement from my government, I stated that my government could never do this. We could never go to war. And the next day, Bush declared war. And I went through, it was the worst kind of hell since a couple of days after 9/11, when it was one of my last trips to a victim center in Manhattan where I live. I'm the only member of my family who lives in Manhattan. And on that last trip, which was 1 o'clock in the morning on Thursday after September 11th, I was still looking for the Red Cross lists of the people who were, well, at that point, no one was coming in injured anymore. It was only bodies. And the last list that came in that I lunged for was a list of body parts. I felt I was sinking through the floor. There was no hope. And I felt that way again when war was declared in Iraq. So many families like mine, like Jane's, like Manny's, like so many others, so many families left broken, scarred, angry, horribly angry, grief-stricken, so many of them all over the world. That was first what polarized me when I saw just a couple of months after 9/11 that we were invading Iraq. At first I thought, oh, we've got to retaliate. Of course we have to retaliate. And then I read in the paper how many casualties. And I know, I started again, thank God for the computer, I started looking up on my computer. And I saw over the course of the 20th century, the percentage of casualties in wars from the beginning of that century right through to this century has gone from very, very low to something like 90%. War is no longer for armies. War is against the civilian population. We cannot allow this to happen. We all have to be involved. Even through just questioning actions. And that's what this is. This is a question. Building what? And what happened there? That's what I want to know. The Jersey girls were the ones to question our government and demand that we, well, they were demanding answers. I'm now at the point where I see people asking questions who were put down for asking questions. Is this my country? Is this the country that I was raised in? Certainly not. So it all comes down to who are we as Americans? I'm a first-generation American. I know what that's like. I was raised in the Polish-Ukrainian ghetto on the Lower East Side of New York. I had such advantages. I got into Hunter College High School, one of the best high schools in the country. No money, not a cent. Nobody had to pay a cent. Sure, I was ashamed of the clothing I was wearing, but I still got the education. And that changed my life. Now, what and who are we? We have got to at least be able to ask questions. We have to fight for the right to ask questions now. That's a horrible thing. No, we need answers. But let's start with the questions. And I'd like each one of you, I'd like to reiterate what Manny said. We need, if you can just give, never mind $250, give us $5 here for this effort to raise the question so that maybe someday we'll get an answer.
Valerie and Manny are both in the new 30-second ad calling for an investigation into Building 7. A recent poll showed that 42% of New Yorkers want this new investigation. To learn more about Building 7, the third tower that collapsed on 9/11 and that was not hit by a plane, go to the website investigatebuilding7.org. They could use donations to keep those ads running. And now you're going to hear architect Richard Gage's speech from the conference. Richard Gage is the founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. He's truly an amazing guy, as you'll see as you listen to this speech. So here he is, architect Richard Gage.
Thank you. I've been asked to give evidence tonight, so I hope you'll come back and hear that. But right now, there's a little story to share with you that I've been asked to do. I came late on the scene, and I apologize for that. And I apologize for the thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of architects and engineers who are not here tonight. I'd like to extend my personal apology. I have talked to many of them, and until we get them in front of the evidence that you're going to see tonight, they don't want to hear it, just like the experience that many of you have had. They don't want to see it. 10 years ago, I watched the towers come down on TV, and I was just in a state of shock. I didn't know what I was looking at. None of us had seen anything like that kind of destruction before, save some very explosive events. But, you know, we were told that it was an orange, and yet what we're looking at is an apple, and we're in a state of shock. And we don't use our rational faculties very well in that state. And what were we told right up front? This is what happened. This is how it happened. And we don't even use our faculties. This didn't look anything like one would expect a gravitational collapse to look like, the Twin Towers. I didn't even see Building 7 come down until 4 years ago. And when I was shown that, I said, well, sure, you know, that's a controlled demolition, just like Danny Jewenko. It's a team of experts did that, he said, without knowing that it happened on 9/11. And then when asked, did you know this happened on 9/11? He says, well, they must have worked very fast. You know, that's what was up for him there. He knew. I was very conservative. I was a Ronald Reagan Republican. This is really actually true. I voted for him twice. When we were going to go in and get those perpetrators in Afghanistan, I was all for it. When we were going to get the perpetrators in Iraq and prove that they were responsible at the UN Colin Powell, I was very excited because I wanted justice. So you can see where I'm coming from. And then when that fateful day on March of 2006, the radio got turned on in my van on my way to a construction observation, I heard Bonnie Faulkner on KPFA's Guns and Butter program. She's done an extraordinary job, one of the only programs on that station, which is one of very few stations that ever consider playing such a program. But the left gatekeepers on that program are extraordinary. But she got through. She's a volunteer. She put David Ray Griffin on, and I'm hearing this elder gentleman talk about all of this evidence for the explosive demolition of the Twin Towers. And the first responders who have experienced all of these explosions, 118 of them, of the 500 that were recorded by Thomas von Essen, Fire Chief Commissioner, and this evidence was withheld for until 2005, when the city of New York was forced by the appellate court to release the information to the New York Times. And only then did we hear all of these people talking about flashes of light. This is all documented quite well, by the way, by one of our speakers at this conference, Graham McQueen, who has put this in a peer-reviewed paper on the Journal of 9/11studies.com. So I'm listening anyway to this evidence, and I just have to say, I was just in this kind of zone where I couldn't believe what I was hearing. It, never before had I heard any alternative explanation as to how these towers came down. And I didn't have any reason to. He didn't sound like a kook, David Ray Griffin. And so I had to pull my van over and listen to the rest of it. I said, this is really important. You know, something got to me then. And I went that night or the next night, and there were 600 people packed into this auditorium, and they were sold out. I had to go home. I couldn't even get in the theater to watch it. But I remember thinking, if this is really true, then how are they letting him speak? How have they let me speak for 4 years now? They don't seem to be bothering most of us who are speaking. I feel really fortunate about that. We can get the word out. I'm not looking forward to the time when I do get threats. I imagine that's coming. I don't know. This is all new to me. I'm just an architect, a pretty normal architect. I worked 40 hours a week. I designed high schools and civic centers and animal shelters, and before that, residences. The 15 architects and engineers that I worked for in the San Francisco Bay Area thought I was nuts when I brought this information. I started talking to them. Have you ever heard of Twin Towers coming down by explosions, conspiracies? One of them had. The rest of them thought I was nuts. And so I found out about Stephen Jones. He had a PowerPoint. I downloaded it. I took it to the office. I said, I'm going to buy you guys pizza, and you're going to listen to this. And they said, okay. They all came. Afterward, they all agreed with me. Oh, my God, you're right. These were brought down by explosions. Every one of them. Once they got in front of the evidence. So I said, wow, this is incredible. All 14 out of the 15 signed our petition. The other one was my boss, and he was Middle Eastern, so he didn't want to sign it. You know, he was concerned. So we start out with one architect and engineer for 9/11 Truth, yours truly. And now then we had 15. 4 years later, we have 1,464 or something like that. Today, it's really working well. We have over 40 volunteers who work anywhere from 20 to 40 hours a week for AE911 Truth on 20 different committees with 20 conference calls. I'm on every one of them. So I'm on the conference calls 20 hours a week with an international team of people who are supported in their work by over 200 sustaining supporters. You can help, by the way, by giving anywhere from $10 to $25 to $100 a month. It can help us. I'm full-time. I earn now a salary, but it's far less than I was earning as an architect. And we have a secretary, and we have some paid staff, partially paid. And so there's so much more work that we can do. But what are we doing? We're speaking around the world every other weekend. Coming up, we'll be in a 10-city Midwest tour in April for 2.5 weeks. After that, in mid-May, Atlanta and in Florida. And then we've been invited to go on a Celtic tour, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, England, with 7 stops, including Cambridge University. We are making a dent. We have a team of presenters that are presenting around the United States, and we need to develop that team. We meet on Monday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, for those of you who are speakers. There's architects here who are on that team as well, and engineers. We have a congressional outreach team led by one of our attendees here, Wayne Costa, right here in Connecticut. He's extraordinary. He's looking for opportunities. There's Wayne back there. Talk to Wayne about what you can do to help. He, as the head of this team, has gotten the Blueprint for Truth, actually the San Francisco Press Conference, our latest DVD, announcing 1,000 architects into the hands of every congressperson and senator, along with our VIP packet, our 9/11 investigator newspaper, our street brochure. I mean, we have the materials that you can use to enhance your credibility when talking about 9/11 Truth. You've heard a few of the speakers say, including Geraldo today, yeah, those noisy protesters, I don't know, but the fact that they have all of these architects and engineers, that's pretty hard to dismiss. And so use us. And we have an incredible body of materials where the evidence is fairly well laid out for you, and you can take them. They're cheap, 8 cents a piece or something in bulk, these cards. You can hand them out, and what do you say? I'm a conspiracy theorist, and this is my favorite conspiracy theory. No. Just ask the question. Hold up the card and say, 1,400 architects and engineers calling for a new investigation of this building, Building 7. It looks like a controlled demolition. What do you think? Will you help me figure this out? Ask them for their advice, particularly architects and engineers. Email every architect and engineer in your community, media representatives, your congressmen. We have a letter you can download in our download section of our website under Take Action, or both of those. And you can email that letter to any number of people, including your friends. the ones you've lost anyway because you said the wrong thing to them or in the wrong way. Try this. Okay, so see, I'm not alone here. I have architects and engineers. With 25,000 years of technical professional experience. So we're here to serve. I mean, I have never been an activist before. And 4 years ago, my whole life changed. This has taken a very difficult, it's been a very difficult path for me personally. I mean, I've lost my career in a sense. I didn't have time for it anymore. I worked 40 hours a week, then 20. And then I had to say, sorry, I'm just too busy trying to wake up our fellow architects and engineers and countrymen. And so then I went full-time, and there's just not enough hours in the day to get all the work done that we have. The more volunteers we have, the more I have to get busier trying to assist them. So we need you to assist us on any number of teams, including our cable TV outreach team. And you can join us at AE911 Truth on one of these conference calls, but you can also just get Blueprint for Truth on your local cable. That can reach, there's 700 cable stations around the country, and we can reach hundreds of thousands of people that way. Many people have been reached. Our 9/11 anniversary events, where we're going to have vigils outside the county courthouses on September 8th or 9th, all across the country with the 20,000 supporters that will be guiding to do this and in educating the local community officials and leaders all across the country by these local groups, local action groups. We have an action group team. You yourself, you and a friend, or your We Are Change group, your 9/11 Truth group, you can become also an AE 9/11 Truth action group. That means that on the 11th of every month or there nearby, you have actions. And each month we get together on a conference call. We coordinate what the action is for the next month. Your website and your email goes on our website so people can find you locally wherever you are. And then we also can say to the media, the Congress, and other architects, look, we have action groups all across the country. Right now we just have about 24. We want about 200 or 300, and we think we'll be there really soon. And so this month we're sending that introduction letter, a 4-page introduction letter with testimonies from architects and engineers attached to the back, and that gets emailed to your friends, architects and engineers, media officials, etc. Next month, the official action for the action groups will be to visit your congresspeople and take the 10-minute Blueprint for Truth there and show it to them and ask them to do what? We've got it narrowed down now. Write a letter to NIST asking for a new investigation of Building 7, asking for to answer our FOIA requests. Why won't you release the input data for the computers that falsify a whole bunch of things trying to prove your ridiculous theory that this building came down according to normal office fires? So this is among those actions. We have a video team which is producing our new DVD, 9/11 Explosive Evidence Experts Speak Out. Some of you in this room were interviewed for that DVD. We're going to be putting it all together, and it comes out before September. It's a lot of work. We need help. We have a 5-minute mini documentary on Building 7 that's going to play on PBS stations, guaranteed, all across the country in a small series of little filler segments. And we're paying a lot of money for that, so we're raising funds for that too. We have a verification team that verifies all our architects and engineers. We need help, your help on that too. There's so much that you can do to help, given that we've made the sacrifice, the personal sacrifice on my part, losing my house, losing my wife, all because of the efforts that I'm making. You know, not everybody can handle 9/11. They can't have it around them. And it's separating families, it's separating friends, it's separating colleagues. So as long as you're, what are you going to do? As soon as you step forward, yes, you'll take some losses, but what are you going to gain? what I've gained is incredible. What I've gotten when I've spoken in groups like this, and people look at me in the eye and they're teared because they are so grateful that somebody is stepping forward and taking the banner and trying to galvanize the 80,000 architects of the American Institute of Architects and Architects and Engineers. What I'm asking you to do is to speak that truth regardless of the risks and watch what happens in your personal life, your own sense of being. You're joined by forces so much greater than you ever imagined and so much greater than the appearance of power in those who have perpetrated 9/11. So I'm asking you to take courage and join us. This is a call to action for all of us. Speak the truth, and the truth will speak through you. Thank you so very much.
To learn more about architect Richard Gage and get involved with Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, check out their great website at ae911truth.org. There are now 1,507 architects and engineers demanding a new investigation. Also, if you'd like to have Wayne Costi, one of our local members of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, speak at an event, and this could be your local church or your local library, etc., his email address is wayne@hopeoutloud.org. I hope you'll get involved. The architects and engineers have made it really easy for you. They have really professional, high-quality materials laying out all the evidence for controlled demolition. They have groups already set up. All you have to do is jump in and get to work. When the government lies to the people, it's only the people who will expose those lies. Also, Architects and Engineers have just written a new book that is already for sale but won't be released until July 15th. The title of the new book is 9/11, The Simple Facts, Why the Official Story Can't Possibly Be True. I would encourage you to go to their website and get yourselves a copy. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.